Hello and welcome to Inside the NYPD, the official podcast of the New York City Police Department, broadcasting from police headquarters in Lower Manhattan to our listeners around the world. In this edition, the city that never sleeps partners with the police to help keep revelers safe in bars and clubs.
Our industry, the best and most famous nightlife in the world, now has a roadmap to guide us in our relationship with the NYPD, the best police department in the world.
Plus, the ground-up revitalization of a historic police precinct begins.
And it's going to usher in a new era of policing here in Central Park.
And four of New York's finest overcome all odds.
Each one of us has wondered at one point, why am I doing this?
To return to their ranks and flourish, we share their successes. I'm Jesse Peterman. First, some important news. Starting in January 2008, New York City police officers can receive up to $15,000 over 5 years to help pay for college loans. Hear the details after our main features. New York is the safest big city in the country, and its nonstop nightlife is no less renowned. The two are highlighted this month with the creation of official best practices to combat crime in and around New York's nightclubs, bars, and lounges. Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly introduced the 58-point program in a news conference at police headquarters.
The police department, working closely with the city council and the nightlife industry, collaborated in establishing best practices for nightlife establishments. Best practices do not guarantee that the police will never be called to a bar or club because of a crime or a disorderly situation. But we believe that nightlife establishments which put the best practices into effect will suffer fewer problems, and that their personnel will be better prepared to deal with incidents as they occur.
City Council Speaker Christine Quinn joined Commissioner Kelly and others for the announcement.
This is a watershed moment. It is one of the first times where the police department and the city council and the Nightlife Association have sat around tables together and collectively come up with solutions. And I think it permanently changes the relationship between city government and the nightlife industry, which is a $9 billion a year industry.
A multi-agency working group convened to address nightlife safety after the abductions and murders of Emmett St. Guillen and Jennifer Moore in 2006. The two young women's tragic cases galvanized everyone to produce more proactive security measures.
In a way, these best practices are fitting tributes to their memories.
The best practices for nightlife establishments, which include improvements from ID verification to incident reporting, are published online at nyc.gov/NYPD. Printed booklets are being distributed to nightlife establishment owners. Next in this edition, the Central Park Precinct provides protection to over 25 million parkgoers each year. From horse-drawn carriages to the annual New York City Marathon, it has secured the city's sanctuary from the same station house for nearly a century.
This is the oldest. We have none that are older than this. But it was built in 1871 when Ulysses S. Grant was the president. And in fact, this was a stable until 1936 when it was opened as a police station.
Commissioner Kelly spoke at the groundbreaking for the new Central Park Precinct Station House, where the historic landmark is now undergoing a multi-million dollar reconstruction.
This renovation is going to be total from top to bottom. There's a lot of impressive history here, and you can understand the painstaking efforts to preserve this building.
The new station will maintain an architectural legacy. The original structure was designed by Jacob Mould, who helped to create Central Park's bridges and bandstands, as well as its storied Bethesda Terrace and Belvedere Castle. When the station is completed in 2010, officers assigned to Central Park will work from a state-of-the-art facility with advanced technology and infrastructure. Already, electric-powered vehicles and segways wait where horses once stood, matching the pace of a full-service police station that serves one of the country's busiest and most beloved public institutions. They may not be stabled at Central Park, but equine are still essential to everyday policing. You can meet the members of the NYPD Mounted Unit, the horses, and their handlers in this month's video podcast. Look for Inside the NYPD on the NYPD website and on iTunes. Next in this edition, each year, the police commissioner presents the Theodore Roosevelt Award to individuals who return to their jobs and perform excellent police work despite suffering debilitating injury or illness. Roosevelt once led the New York City Police Department as president of the Board of Police Commissioners, among his many noted accomplishments.
You know, when you invoke Teddy Roosevelt's name, you're setting the bar very high. He was born with asthma, but when he graduated from college, he was diagnosed with a serious heart ailment. The doctor told him that any job that he took had to be one behind the desk. He became Secretary of the Navy, he became Governor of New York State, indeed, he became President. Some people just won't accept the limitations of illness or injury. Lieutenant Warren is one of those people.
Lieutenant Jacqueline Bourne was one of four New York City police officers honored at a ceremony this October. She endured intensive rehabilitation to overcome crushing injuries to her pelvis, leg, hip, tailbone, and nerves after being hit by an SUV. Shortly after recovering from these injuries, Lieutenant Bourne was diagnosed with cervical cancer. She has survived it. Police officers Rashid Al-Qadi and Douglas Strong also have beat the odds. Commissioner Kelly summarized their awesome accomplishments.
Officer Al-Qadi was serving in the 112th Precinct. A year and a half out of the academy, the department certified translator, fluent in Arabic, with a promising career ahead of him. Then tragedy struck. Officer Al-Qadi was involved in a serious motorcycle accident. His right leg was amputated along the knee. Incredible. An accident that would have ended almost anyone's career didn't stop Officer Al-Qadi. He had received a prosthetic limb and mastered the use of it. Through physical therapy 3 days a week and the sheer force of will, Officer Al-Qadi was able to return to full duty status, making arrests, helping to keep the city safe. Fellow officers describe him as inspirational. Over the 33rd Precinct, they say the same thing about police officer Douglas Strong. Officer Strong was in the prime of his career when he was diagnosed with end-stage renal failure. In spite of the demands of the treatment, he has gone sick only 7 times. 3 days a week, he undergoes dialysis before reporting to work. Most amazing, he is one of the most active members of the command, with a growing record of arrests. 966 to date, 229 of them for felonies, and over 50 arrests in just the last 4 months. That is an outstanding achievement for any officer.
Sergeant John Palucci narrowly survived a hit-and-run accident. He stood before TV cameras after the ceremony with 3 metal plates and 20 screws in one leg. Doctors had told him that leg had a 95% likelihood of being amputated. Sergeant Palucci spoke of his inspiration for making it through.
It's like no other job in this world. I mean, I was never behind a desk person. I have one of the most interesting jobs probably in the world, working for the Crime Scene Unit in New York City Police Department.
We congratulate Sergeant Palucci, Officer Strong, and Al-Qadi, and Lieutenant Bourne. Before we go, good news for new and prospective recruits facing college tuition repayment. We mentioned at the start of the podcast that beginning next January, 2008, police officers will be eligible to receive up to $15,000 over 5 years to help defray the cost of college. To receive scholarships, recipients must graduate the police academy and remain with the department in good standing for at least 5 years. The reimbursement program is made possible through an initial $1.5 million donation by businessman Richard Fields to the New York City Police Foundation, the organization that helps to support police department initiatives. For details on how to apply or how to help, call 212-751-8170. The Police Foundation will administer all applications and awards. If you're interested in joining New York's finest, the NYPD offers a job with a future, a great place to serve, and a chance to advance. For more information, call 212-RECRUIT. or visit us on the web at www.nypdrecruit.com. Thank you for listening to the New York City Police Department podcast. Until next time, I'm Jesse Peterman.